Blanco Panther football is on the air. The Sun Radio Sports Network is your Friday night home for Blanco Panther football. Don't miss a minute of the action this season. Follow the Panthers every Friday night right here on 88.9 FM in Johnson City and 106.9 FM in Fredericksburg. BlancoRadio.com and the Sun Radio app, all part of the Sun Radio Sports Network. Riley Chestnut and Adam Byerly will call all the action. Kickoff is coming up, but first, it's the pregame show. Now, here's the voice of Panther football, Riley Chestnut.
This game is being conducted according to the rules and regulations of the University Interscholastic.
For a season that's gone by so suddenly in a town now that is so, so far away from Blanco and from our home down in San Marcos and the city of Austin, I want to welcome you all out here to the regular season finale of the 2017 Blanco Panthers varsity football season. As the intro stated, I'm Riley Chestnut, and my partner in crime and the man making sure you can hear us over the airwaves of 88.9 Johnson City and 106.9 Fredericksburg is Adam Byerly. And Adam, Blanco's coming off of by far their best win of the season last week and their largest margin of victory since they were doing it regularly back in 2015 and 14. So, my one question here to start us off is, did we have the perfect timing for that great game by Blanco, or did they just top out too early and may we see a different effort tonight, or could they build off it?
I think we've seen two great performances from the Blanco Panthers the last 2 weeks, coming off the heartbreaking loss to Florence, seeing them come back and get the win against Johnson City, and then the win last week against Comfort really has this team feeling confident and then go out there and get the win today to make the playoffs.
Now, a huge part of what made them so darn successful last weekend was the exact purpose of what they run week in and week out, and that is exactly the word you want to key into, is running. The Blanco Panthers' rushing offense is by far very dynamic, has only gotten better as the season has gone on, and in these last two home games has been a huge part of why they have pulled off victories over both Johnson City and then last week in a 35-0 shutout over the hapless Comfort Bobcats. The two big players you can look for on the ground last week were Gunnar Granberg, the sophomore fullback who runs with a 240-pound body frame and only 5 feet 7 inches, powerful runner. Again, we have two more years to see this kid really blossom into something special. But 6 rushing touchdowns on the year to lead the team. 2 of them last week, he was matched by his partner in crime, number 5, the junior running back, Tristan Fortner, who had 2 scores through the ground and 1 heck of a day. But in terms of total carries, it's been Jet Hood's show. These last two games, he spearheaded a rushing offense by the Panthers that has gone for 274 yards and 247 yards, so their best performances. And they haven't had to throw the ball really at all with 2 different quarterbacks.
And it's been nice that they haven't had to throw the ball with the fact that they went true freshman Baylor Smith, and then they went Kelby Cox, who was just coming off of an injury, so it was nice that they didn't have to rely on him throwing the football with him coming off that injury.
Now, another week after that kind of ease back into it kind of game for Kelby Cox, where, again, he only went 1 for 4. What exactly I appreciate it there, sir. Just speaking to the man who's doing the camera work for Rogers sitting next to us, he just brought me a stool. I definitely appreciate it. But you take a look out here. Kelby Cox, he had a bit of a welcoming back game where they didn't ask him to do too much because, as I said, the practices before that, he still wasn't exactly moving around quite like I thought he could on screen passes to set himself up. But now that he's had another week to get that thing back in order, what can we expect to see from Kelby Cox out here now that his knee might be back to 100%?
I think we might expect him to join in that running game that we already see from players like you mentioned, Jet Hood, Tristan Fortner, you know, the typical running backs for Blanco.
Even maybe, Toby Treish got in a bit of the action last week.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Riley. And I think we'll see some more play action moments or some more rollouts from Kelby Cox, and maybe he can get going running the football also.
Now, one of the best stat lines I could think of to look at comparing these last two games for the Panthers, where they rushed for over 200 yards on the ground, as I keep stating. 56 carries, I believe, in that first win over Johnson City, so you average that out to about 4.5 yards per carry with 274 yards on the ground. Still great, but that takes a lot of snaps to give you that opportunity. But last week, only 38 snaps taken, you get 247. They average nearly over six yards a carry, if you want to be specific. So this Blanco team has not only gone great at the right time, they've unlocked what their offense can do to the very best of its ability, and now they know they're one step away from making that push back to the playoffs after missing it last year. one can only hope that they're not going to be feeling like there's a huge amount of pressure on them compared to these last two games. But you do got to admit, in every sporting event, in every series, even regular season, the closeout game is the hardest, the one you need to win in order to make that next step. Do you think the Panthers, with their experience on this roster, have that opportunity to do it here tonight?
Yeah, they definitely have that opportunity, but let's not ignore the fact that last year they were in the same scenario against Rodgers and dropped it and missed out on the playoffs. Mm. So this is a game that I think Blanco's even had circled on their schedule.
Ooh.
And so I think this is a Blanco team that knows the moment. They know what's at stake, and I think they'll come out here and play 100%.
Now, give credit to the Blanco fans. This was a two-hour drive for us, so I can only imagine the length it took to get out of Blanco up here to Rodgers. But look at the fan support that has come out here on the far side in a small section of visitors' bleachers. You have a big Rodgers Eagles signs over it. Man, three teams in this district named Eagles. You think they could have come up with a little more variety on that one?
But yeah.
Aren't you glad we picked the Panthers?
It's just a typical high school thing. It's always the Eagles, the Bulldogs, the Mustangs.
Well, no. They got the Panthers. They got to deal with the Panthers. And again, Rodgers went to Blanco last year and, like you said, shut them out to seal their deal in the playoffs. Now Blanco's going to be looking to return the favor out here on the road. And I think they got a really good chance to do it because, again, momentum is on their side. And while Rodgers is coming off their first district win last week, which was on the road at Florence, 35-14, so give credit to him. Blanco couldn't figure out what to do when Florence was running all over him. But then again, you kind of got to give credit to the fact that Kelby Cox being knocked out of that game might have been an emotional blow that kind of shook their foundation.
Yeah, but CJ Giddens, for the quarterback for Florence, looked good against Blanco. And so you got to give credit to this Rodgers defense to be able to stop him.
Yeah, but before that, they had lost to Comfort. I'm not repeating that anymore. Rodgers lost to Comfort by it was a close score, 23-22, so you can only imagine that maybe that was just Rodgers not having it that day and Comfort taking advantage of a lucky chance. Otherwise, you can't help as the entire standing section of fans, both on the Rodgers side and the Blanco side, there's a prayer being read over the air. I think that's the first time I've heard that. So, do you think we can take a break right now?
We'll take a break for this prayer and then the national anthem.
We'll take a break for this prayer as we honor the veterans, as tomorrow is Veterans Day, so be sure to thank those that served and managed to come back home. Anyways, we're going to take a break here. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Blanco Panthers Varsity Football out on Sun Radio.
Support comes from AMM Collision Center, specializing in complete body and paint repair for residents in Austin and the Texas Hill Country. Four locations, including in Dripping Springs on Highway 290, west of the light at Sunset Canyon. More information, including hours of operation, online at ammcollision.com and by phone at 512-894-3888. Financial support comes from Charles Schwab Incorporated, member SIPC, on Highway 290 in Dripping Springs, and Brian Carpenter, Branch Leader Financial Consultant. Personalized financial guidance for residents of the Texas Hill Country. Information at schwab.com/drippingsprings.
And by Dirtworks, servicing the Hill Country with landscape material sales, rock milling, and lake construction. Information available online at dirtworks.com or by phone at 830-833-2097. Dirtworks has been supporting Blanco ISD Athletics since 1999. Go Panthers!
Welcome you all back out here to the pregame show with Blanco Panthers football out on the air. And as I look on and see a young man with an orange hat and a do-rag on, I just want to say that I'm going to introduce this segment here of my usual interview with the head coach of the Blanco Panthers, Bill Tesh.
Riley Chestnut, Sun Radio Sports out here with head coach Bill Tesh of the Blanco Panthers, and we've got one game left in this regular season. What are you expecting out of it facing Rodgers?
Well, obviously both teams have to win to make the playoffs, so I expect a great battle. They got some big, strong kids and learning a new offense. Hopefully our young men are prepared and ready to go, and I think it's going to be a good game Friday.
And last week, y'all had your best game of the season. How important or perfectly timed was it that your kids proved to you what the very best of this team can be now going into the most important game of the year?
Sure. I mean, it Comfort's a rival, and it's always good to beat your rival, but your question is, we looked good, we were improving, and, we just got to keep improving, and hopefully this last game of the regular season isn't our last game of the year.
Any last kinks you've been working extra hard to get out of the way this week in light of and now prepping for Rodgers?
Well, sure. I mean, you got to prepare for the defenses and the fronts they run. The offense is a little bit different than what we've seen in the past and so forth. You're always working to improve everybody that's out there.
Now, in high-pressure moments, this is by far the biggest one yet. There's a big determination in how players can come out with attitude. What exactly will we be looking for your team attitude-wise going into Friday to really tell you that they're ready to come and play?
Sure. Well, a major focus. You know, they all got to be focused and stay on each other and make sure they're paying attention and ready to go and we'll just be ready for the kickoff.
And the rushing game had its best game last week. Now, I didn't get the final stats, but the first half I saw 185 on that number. Are you going to be looking to get that out of the same usual rotation of guys, and will Cade Phelps have any part of it this week now that he might be recovered?
Well, sure. And that's the thing about our offense and just our situation in general. They all play offense, they all play defense, and it's just a matter of who's in there at the right time and so forth. Cade Phelps, if he's healthy, yes, he'll be in there. But I got Jed Hood, Toby Trish, Gunner, my Tristan Fortner, wingbacks are good. So, and anybody else I forgot. But we have good backs and a good line, and we just got to make sure we execute. Who's running the ball is really immaterial to me because, like I said, somebody could have just came off defense and needed a break, and then that person in there all of a sudden got the big run. So, that's also a part of our offense.
All right, well, now that you've officially gotten your first full season with fan support right behind you, how thankful were you for the incredible fan support you did get throughout most of the year?
Sure. I mean, it's all, that's one of the reasons that I've been here at Blanco is the great fan support, the student body. And our boys just love to play football, and it's great to see, and hopefully we get a victory on Friday and we get to the playoffs, and it's one step at a time.
All right, last question. Your team feels confident that they're going to be picking up their first road win this season this Friday?
We sure hope so, yes. I think so, yes.
All right, well, that's going to wrap it up here. Thank you, Coach.
Thank you.
And I'd love to give a special thank you to head coach Bill Tesh for always making time for me anytime I got to go up there, usually for their Wednesday practices. Only one instance where I didn't get to interview Coach Tesh this season, that was back in week two when they were going to go play Holy Cross, of which I appreciate the effort made by assistant coach Scott Balmos to make time for me and give me a well-rounded interview. But all I can say is it's been a fantastic season to watch, no matter the ups or the downs, from where they started to where they have an opportunity to finish. The Blanco Panthers seem like they are not going to let anything stop them, not even the fact that they are 0-4 on the road. I feel like they're going to be pulling off their first road win and the biggest win tonight.
Yeah, it would mean so much to get that one road win of the season, to be the last game of the season, to clinch the playoff berth. It would mean so much to this Blanco Panther football team and so much to the town of Blanco.
Now, that leads me right into my first key. But before we get into the keys to the game, let's take a look at the standings that are currently in place here for this District 13-3A. Now, obviously, Lexington being 4-0 is in. Their playoff spot is clinched no matter what, and they'll be taking on Florence tonight. So, Florence isn't going to have a pretty easy time. It's going to take a lot for them to upset Lexington in any sort of way. But the other three spots are still up in the air with Johnson City, Florence, Blanco, Rogers, and Comfort all still in the race. So I take back what I said last week where I said Comfort was knocked out. They still have a chance. And we'll get to that chance as we'll be providing scores at halftime and then in the postgame to let us know where things will finally stand. However, should any of those teams lose, Rogers and Comfort would slip in as numerous tiebreaker scenarios are in play. So that's the simple scenario of it all. Blanco needs to win. There's no other way. They can't hope for another team to fail out. They have got to get it done themselves, and they got to get it done against this Rogers team that is looking pumped as I take a look out there as they're in their all-black unis with some dark helmets. It looks like a kind of gothic version of Notre Dame, if you want to feel that part of it, whereas Blanco is in their road white uniforms, standing there with the yellow numbers on their side sleeve, blue over the middle. But hey,
and Riley, it's nice to see here in Rogers all their parents out right by the tunnel to welcome their team for their last home game of the season.
Must be their family night. Blanco got to do theirs last week, and of course they got to celebrate a 35-0 win with the hugest bonfire I have ever seen.
Yeah, I remember when you saw it after the game, you kind of...
That terrified me.
Yeah,
I thought something was going up in blazing glory, but nah, they were celebrating like that, and that is honestly the first time I've ever seen a bonfire. So that was pretty cool. But nonetheless, we're going to take another break here, and then we'll get to the keys to the game here for Blanco. But don't go anywhere. This is Panthers football on the Sun Radio Sports Network with Adam Byerly and Riley Chestnut.
Support comes from KNC Supply, selling hardware, lumber, and farm and ranch supplies to the residents of Blanco and the Texas Hill Country. Located at 2400 North Highway 281 in Blanco. Open Monday through Friday, 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Saturday, 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. More information by phone at 830-833-1504. Kirk and everyone at KNC Supply wish all the best to the Panthers on a great season.
And by Clay Pack Greenhouses, deep-rooted in Blanco athletics. Everyone at Clay Pack Greenhouses wishes all the best to the Panthers on a great season.
And by Lone Star Capital Bank, offering construction loans, home mortgages, and banking options for your personal or business needs. Online at lscb.com and by phone at 830-833-4587. Branch manager Ernesto Bustamante and everyone at Lone Star Capital Bank wishes the Panthers the very best this season. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
And by Peterson Tire, the Hill Country's authorized Yokohama dealer, offering Yokohama tires including Geolander AT Geo15 and HT Geo56. Avid lines and performance tires like Advance Sports AS and S-Drive. Locations in Blanco and in Johnson City along Highway 281. Available by phone at 830-833-1004 in Blanco and 830-868-2004 in Johnson City. Daniel and everyone at Peterson Tire wish all the best to the Panthers and a great 2017 season. Go Panthers!
And let's get back to it, everybody, as we see the captains making their march out on the field. Rodgers is only throwing three captains out there, and they are number 32, Isaiah Minor, number 58, that is Courtney Young, and along with that, I see, as the obvious captains for Blanco are Kelby Cox, Toby Treish, Jet Hood, and Mr. Kyle Martinez. Number 35 on the Rodgers roster is Corey Bruce, a wide receiver linebacker option, and one of the seniors. As you take a look at the list there, another senior being number 58, Courtney Young. And lastly, number 32, setting it all up, the senior running back and linebacker option, 5'8", Isaiah Minor. As now both teams are at half field for the coin toss. And let's see who the decision is going to rest on. But before that is going to be set in stone, the first key to the game for me, Blanco, you got to play with everything you have. I mean, it's the last game of the year, possibly could be the last game of y'all season, so there is no excuse for any lackluster effort, and I know, and I'm sure these players know that, and I'm not going to have to worry. Any key you have here, Adam?
Don't fumble the football. We've seen fumbling be an issue the last few games.
You're exactly right. But hey, ladies and gentlemen, the national anthem's playing, so let's just be quiet and pay respect. That was the national anthem, ladies and gentlemen, and as Adam puts back on his headset, I did notice one key there at the final note kind of being a little bit off. I guess that horns player needs to get himself back in tune because, I mean, the national anthem, you should know how to play that by now. But anyways, welcome, everybody. We are only a few seconds away from kickoff down here. Actually, up here, if you want to be more geographically correct, in Rogers between the Eagles and the Blanco Panthers. The other keys for the game: don't be sold on the pass. Blanco, you have not needed it these last 2 weeks. Just keep things on the ground, and like Adam said, don't fumble the football. And if you do, pick it up again, and be sure to pick it up farther away from where you left it in a positive yardage situation. But, hey, just don't fumble the football and we won't have to worry. Whereas that means keep the outside swept clean, keep the middle gucked up pretty well, because as I look up and down the list at the seniors, offensive linemen and D linemen, only one of them currently stands at 6 feet or taller, and that is number 76, Jesse Lendetos. But now Blanco is going to be the first to kick off, and Rogers powers that. That's Zach Rogers, not the Rogers team. Ready to return it. It's going to be number 3, Jordan Riley, going over the middle of the hash mark and being taken down. So we see a little physicality being exchanged, but Riley gets himself picked back up after getting it placed. They're going to start the drive, are the Rogers High School Eagles, from the 31-yard line.
And Riley, this was the first that we'll see this Rogers offense tonight. So let's see what they like to do, what if they like to keep it on the ground, if they like to do some surprise attack in the passing game.
And I got to correct myself. I heard 55 Tristan Lopez. He was the captain, not Kyle Martinez. That's number 52, silly. But anyways, it looks like a shotgun stance, and the starting QB out there is the sophomore, 6'2", 190-pound Heath Schiller, and he'll hand it off up the middle. But Blanco does a pretty good job of blocking off traffic and keeping the gain to about 4 yards on the play. Mark it down at the 36-yard line, so yep, that's going to be a 4-yard gain to make it second down and 6 here for the Eagles.
And Riley, I've noticed the Blanco defense has been really good this year on first down, being able to defend the running attack. Even against Lexington, they were able to really stop them a lot on first down.
It's a gun stance again. One man behind the quarterback, Schiller. He'll hand it off and let him go run. Oh, he's going to keep it through the left side, and it's a great trick before he's swallowed up by Tristan Fortner getting to the 50. The slow spin-down tackle. And, well, that's not going to do him any favors, as that was a great fake to allow the draw through the left side. But let's see here. The officials are blowing their top, and we need to know why. As you see, the head coach for Rogers, Charlie Roden, making his way over to the officials and getting a clearance on what exactly is happening. I don't know much myself. Well, looks like it's not going to be much to harm here, as they're going to mark it down at the 50 after that first down gain on the quarterback draw to the left side by Mr. Heath Schiller. Well done play there. Fooled me.
Yeah, that was a good fake by Rogers. I like that Rogers came out here and they're saying we're not going to be running up the middle, first down, running up the middle, second down, but they went ahead and did a trick play here on the second play of the game.
Yeah, didn't hand it off to Billy Riley, of which they both have the last name Riley, so I'm only going to guess here that maybe they're brothers. But I'm not going to leave that up to much speculation. Jordan Riley and Billy Riley are brothers. I was looking at Heath Schiller and thinking that he was number 3, Jordan Riley, for a second. But hey, you got two receivers going on the left side near their own bench. One of them being number 11, Mr. Brady Cisneros, who is 6'4", being guarded by the 5'7" Fortner. No flag being thrown.
And the Rogers offense looks to the sideline for the play call.
As Granberg got a little hoppy but keeps himself in check over on the weak side, and it's a side pass going to Cisneros that is gucked up there, taken down over on the long side by number 88. What in the world? That's the first time I've seen number 88 out there for Blanco. We're going to have to get confirmation on that later, but he's the one that makes the tackle, so good job there by the mystery man. Keeps it to a 2-yard gain to make it second down and 8 here at the 48 in Blanco turf, as Big Wyatt Perkins plays nose tackle up the middle, and Schiller stands in the gun again with Riley behind him. Early motion there for number 6, Joshua Miner, and it's going to be a plug stopped on that run through the middle of the right side. Riley wasn't getting any of it, and they're going to keep it there at third down.
And that Blanco defensive line came up and crowded that right line and was able to get the tackle pretty much immediately.
I'm going to have to go sightseeing, Adam. I can't see the clock unless I'm standing up. And we got 10:05 to go in the third quarter, and now third down and 6. Hopefully I'm not blocking you, buddy. I'm just going to stand real nonchalant like a cowboy here. But at the 46, third down and 6, tight end motion from the left to the right side now to block it. Motion for Miner, hand off to Riley. He's going through the middle, and he looks like he's going to be stopped short of the first down by about 2 yards. Or 3, or 4. But anyways, good job there by Blanco, fourth down.
And with it being already across midfield, you got to think that Rodgers might go for it here on fourth down, Riley.
And let's see. And it looks like that's exactly what they're going to do. Good call, Adam, as you see a sub coming out there for number 27, Mr. Ray Rodriguez, a sophomore who stands 5'6", 135 as a wide receiver option. But you still see Cisneros as the only receiver on the left side going one-on-one with Fortner. Let's see what the connection is here. As it's a left-to-right, back to the fake. It's a pitch to the left side, running through the outside, pushing, and look at that. He might have gotten it. Might have been barely enough, but it looks like it is going to be at the 40, so it's really going to become a matter of ball placement here. But it looks like it will be a first down.
And that was a good effort there by Rodgers to make sure that they didn't go down on first contact, but that they pushed just for that extra yard or two to make sure that to get that first down.
Oy vey, that one really took a whole lot to handle as the ball is placed at the 40. A new pair of downs here. So we got 8:44 and counting to go in the first quarter. No score yet between Rodgers, even though they are on the drive now at the Blanco 40. And Schiller is waiting to get the call from his coaches again. He's going to move away, play in a short gun spot. Two men behind him, and he's going to use them to block on the right side run. Throw over it, and it is a catch made. Oh, or maybe not. Let's see here. Oh, it will be completed. So that was a catch, and that was a turn towards the right sideline by Casey Koering. Cuts the distance down to make it out of bounds, actually. So it's going to remain second down and still 10 here at the 40.
Rodgers offense coming out here, being able to move the ball a little bit against this Blanco defense. Let's see what this Blanco defense can do now here on second and 10.
Now here we go, still at the 40. It's going to be a keep to the left side. Same trick play there by Schiller is not going to fool Blanco this time. As Wyatt Perkins, Peyton Van Dyke get to Schiller first and keep the damage dealt a little bit less, as now it's going to cut the distance in half to make it third down and 5 here. And the last time, Blanco did a pretty good job stopping a first down run on a third down up the middle, but it was the fourth down where they gave away a little too much that ended up kicking them.
And Riley, that's what you like to see after giving up the big trick play earlier. Being able to get the stop immediately on that one.
It's going to be a sweep right side. Cut back there by Miner. He's trying to shift it up. Breaking a few, but he is going to be brought back for about a loss of 2 yards on the play. So after all that downhill running both right and left, it does not pay off. And it ends up being a negative to make it now fourth down and 7.
Yeah, Miner was just trying to make something out of nothing.
He tried a little too hard.
But it was good effort by Joshua Miner there.
Yeah, he didn't have a whole lot of opportunity to go to the right side because it got plugged up real quickly by guys like Walton Daves. As now you see Chris Oskin move to guard the far side receiver. It's going to be a fourth down attempt again and a roll right by Schiller. He'll fire between it, and that is going to be a dropped interception by Feltz, but it's a fourth down anyway. So turnover on downs. Good job there by Blanco to keep Schiller contained in between the lines.
Yeah, very impressive fourth down stop there by Blanco. Make sure to not give any room for this Riders offense to get that second fourth down conversion of this drive.
And now they get a pretty decent field starting position at their own 35 here. Their first drive of the game is not going to come by way of a punt, as you saw. Early aggression by Rodgers' play calling means that we might not see a whole lot of punting tonight on Blanco's end either, which I kind of like.
And with it being a playoff or go-home type game, expect both teams to be ultra-aggressive tonight.
Yep. So now Kelby Cox under center with Jet Hood in his backfield. Fortner in motion, left to right. He's going to go sweeping, try and get around down the sideline. Somehow turns that play into a positive of maybe 2 as he's taken out over near the Rodgers bench. Second down coming up.
And I like those Tristan Fortner runs to the side that we've seen all season. We've seen success with it. So I was still, even though that one was only 2 yards, I would still keep calling that from here time and time at this game.
It slowed him down a little bit when he was trying to get around that first defender in front of him, Mr. 22, number 22, Mr. Thomas Goodwin, and it slowed Fortner down a little bit, and he saw that he wasn't going to get a whole lot of opportunity to cut back, as now Cox is going to roll right, throw over the pressure, and overshoot his man, Toby Treish. Incomplete. It'll be third down and 8.
And it was almost picked off by Rodgers.
You know, that one didn't really worry me. I thought he could have made the throw on the run there to Toby Treish because he was starting to curl around. But it was just a little bit off.
And it was Jordan Riley, number 3 for Rodgers, that almost came up with it. But it has barely hit the ground before he was able to try to make a play on it.
Man, I can barely hear us. And that's because the band is playing not too far away from us. Again, we're outside for the first time, so this is a bit of a stretch. But now third down and 8. Blanco on there. 37-yard line, ready to go. Cox under center. He's got Fortner lined up as a receiver and puts Toby Treish on a cut around. Cox is running. He throws over the pressure, looking to Treish, and he overshoots him. Man, that was a great opportunity, and it was a great play. Unfortunately, Kelby put a little too much mustard on it.
And it was Treish had about a one step on Rodgers, but just wasn't able to have a good throw necessarily by Kelby Cox, as it was just a little bit off.
And, well, Blanco's going to elect to play conservatively here with 6:50 left in the first quarter. They're going to send Rodgers out to punt for them. So, first punt we're going to see for any team tonight, as Rodgers spent their first two fourth downs by going for it.
And with it being 4th and 9 in their own territory, it's not surprising.
And now Rodgers puts a good boot on this one. Waiting to return it back is going to be Miner, and he is swallowed up by Walton Daves, the first Panther to him, putting him back behind the 35. Great job there by Daves.
And Walton Daves did not let him get any yardage there. Actually, maybe made him go back a yard or two.
And it looks like he's still trying to collect his breath as we see Miner is still out there, and he is not getting up. He is rolled over onto his back, and he looks like he's in pain. So, with stoppage on the field, let's take a break here, and hopefully we'll have a positive prognosis when we get back, as the crowd is falling silent and players are starting to get on a knee. But Blanco Panthers football with 6:42 left in the first quarter. No score yet, and Rodgers will have the ball back.
Support for Panther football comes from Old 300 Barbecue, open 7 days a week on the square in Blanco. Large and small catering available. More information at 833-1227 or online at old300bbq.com. On behalf of Old 300 Barbecue, here's to a great 2017 Panther football season. And by RE/MAX Genesis owners Jane and Wayman Lightfoot, selling farms, ranches, land, and homes throughout the Hill Country.
Well, welcome back here. The good news is they got Isaiah Miner off the field. They got Joshua Miner off the field. Again, another pair of brothers I got to keep my eye out for with the same last name. But unfortunately, Joshua cannot put any weight on his right leg. So depending on how severe that pressure is on the lower part of his body, could be a game ender right there.
And with Joshua Miner being the guy that's been getting the most of the carries so far for Rodgers, that might sting. Yeah, that might be a big negative for this Rodgers offense.
But now we see it. Shotgun stance and a long handoff there to Billy Riley through the right side. He tries to cut around the right tackle's block, but doesn't get very much. Great poke and choke there by Cade Phelps as he doesn't give that one away. But it's still a 3-yard gain to put him at the 41 here on second down. Man, it looks like they don't get as many yards as the ball is being placed here. I'm not too sure. I could have sworn it didn't seem like he got that far, but maybe it's because he was in a whole mass. Anyways, 4-man box here with 3 backs for Blanco's defense. Motion, and it's going to be a pitch to the right side that does get read very well by Blanco, and the pitch comes a little too late there to Koering, and he's going to be taken back for a couple yards loss on the play to make it third down and long.
That was a good fake handoff to Billy Riley, though, as I thought Billy Riley had it there. For a second, but
Blanco didn't buy it.
Yeah, Blanco didn't buy it, but Adam might have bought it.
Well, I guess that's why we ain't the coaches here, buddy. Anyways, now at the 35 after the loss of one, it is third down and 8 coming up here. Blanco again with mystery man number 88 covering the left side. Schiller tosses it, and he ends up tossing a live ball that will be slid on to make it fourth down and long, as that's Patrick Crow having to save the play on the bad pitch there by Schiller. This is going to be a fourth down that I don't think Rodgers is going to want to try and test.
Yeah, and that's a good bad play by Patrick Crow there to just land on the ball. Because if they would have given up there, then Blanco would have had the ball in their 30.
And so Schiller's going to walk off a little huffy-puffy on the sideline again. The sophomore, and so probably not a lot of experience on this roster here for Rodgers. Now it's going to be a punt in the air there by the man who dove on it earlier, Crow. And it's going to take a bounce. Get dribbled off just inside the 40 in Blanco territory and get picked up at the 37, which is where Blanco will start this offensive drive, looking to break the scoreboard open.
And pretty good field position again, Riley, starting the ball on their about 37-yard line. And so started about the first drive, about 30, 35-yard line. So
yeah, and it could have been a whole lot better in the red zone if Kelby just didn't put a little just had a little bit less on that throw. Toby Treach, there's nothing he could have done to try and make that play. So they did call the right play, and that's the good news here for Blanco, as Cox lines up under center and the beat of the drum is overpowering. Hand off to Hood through the right side. He's going to creep back towards the middle and get across the 40, maybe to about the 42 to make it second down and what looks to be 5. So cuts the distance there in half. Nice job there by Jet.
Yeah, Jet Hood's been a player all season. It's been pretty reliable for this Blanco offense, especially here as of late. So let's see how big of an impact he has on this Blanco Panther offense tonight.
And, hey, I want to issue a challenge out there to you Blanco fans because, again, number 88 is not listed on this roster. So if any of you have any idea who that is, reach us on Facebook. And just like when you helped us solve the mystery of Baylor Smith, as that play leads to another positive run by Toby Treach, still going to be third down and about 3 yards away, help us find out the identity of number 88 on the Blanco roster.
Yeah, he's not on our official roster that we have, so we...
So he really is a mystery.
Yeah, we don't have his name right now.
Maybe another late call-up, just like what Baylor was. Hopefully not so late that he's only been on this team for about a day. Anyways, now Oskin lined up on the far side. Cox puts him down under center, sends Fortner in motion way back. He's going to keep it, pitch it out to Fortner, and he ends up pitching it away. And Fortner ends up sliding out of bounds back to the 35, so oy vey. 3 yard loss on the play is going to make it third down and 13. Fourth down and 13, so Rogers is going to have to come back out and punt again on. Now we've seen both quarterbacks cough it up on a pitch play.
Yeah, now Blanco Panthers, this is not ideal as far as how they wanted their offense to start out now, having a punt the first few drives. When we've been kind of used to the last few weeks, them going on these long drives to start off the game that end with a touchdown. And so let's see what they can do on that third drive, maybe third time's the charm.
3:33 left in the first quarter, and Rogers gets this one high in the air. And it's going to take a bounce and stop its way just past the 41-yard line in Rogers' territory before it is picked up there by Brock Nichols. So, Blanco here with 3:23 left, took about 10 seconds on that punt play there by Zach Rogers. Good job there. Here in the first quarter, no team between Rogers or Blanco has scored yet, but Rogers is going to get another chance to on this drive here, which is, if I'm making the right call, already there's fourth in this first quarter.
Yeah, this has already been a defensive battle that we've seen here between Blanco and Rogers, so now the question is, what offense can break?
Which offense can really clean itself up here first, because both teams have had opportunities to strike and they just have not panned out. But now Schiller, under center, takes a snap, backs up, throws left side off the fake, and it's a great one, getting it over there to Mr. Koering, and he gets him across into Blanco territory at the 38-yard line. And so a new first down on that long completion there. It was a great shoulder fake by Heath Schiller, and it turns into a long gain on the pass play to the 38 in Blanco territory. Panthers didn't see that coming.
Yeah, that was a nice pass play there early on in this drive by the Rogers Eagles. I like that play call for the Eagles.
So now first and 10. Motion, handoff up the middle, and it's going to be Mr. Billy Riley getting swallowed up there by big old Wyatt Perkins. No gain on the play, keeps it second down and 10.
It really looks like the Riley brothers are the two to watch out for on this Rogers offense, with Billy Riley getting a lot of the carries and Jordan Riley being the biggest target so far in that receiving core.
So, well done there. As we see subs coming in there for number 44, Mr. Ty Sebeck, who plays as a long wide receiver, tight end blocking option, and now Schiller still lined up in shotgun. We have not seen him under center yet tonight on second down and 10. Pitches it to the right side, and it's Zachary Riley keeping his balance, spinning his way through a tackle by Hood and getting himself close to a first down. But he's going to get them across the 35 here with 2:10 and counting to go in the first quarter.
And Riley, I just noticed, I just looked across the field, and that Blanco away section really filled in nicely.
Oh, yeah.
As the Blanco Panthers drove out here to support their team.
Guts to them. That's a long drive. But now it's going to be third down, and what looks to be about 5 here to go for the Rogers Eagles. And, yep, my math is right. Third down and 5 here at the 39-yard line. Motion right to left. It's going to be a pitch. Same play going to the left side. He's in a foot race, and it looks like he got swallowed up about a yard short of the first down. But in a fourth down and 1, who's to say Rogers won't go for it?
This is almost 100% a fourth down territory. So surely see Riders go for it here on fourth down.
And, yep, that's the call. That's what it's going to look like after the four-yard carry there by number 27. That is Mr. Ray Rodriguez, 5 feet 6 inches, the sophomore, taking it off the early motion jet sweep. But Schiller here on fourth down and one, Blanco looking to make the stop. Best option would probably be to go in the air, or make Schiller go in the air as he puts motion here for Rodriguez and lets Billy Riley go with a halfback dive over the middle. And, yep, that's a first down.
Blanco is not wanting it to be a first down, but it is a first down,
yep,
for Rodgers.
So now make that one go back there. It's going to be a fresh pair of downs here with a minute 32 left in the first quarter. Mark that one up here at the 27-yard line. So closest any team has been here in either team's territory, really starting to favor the Rodgers High School Eagles right now.
And you got to credit Rodgers to just be able to get that, you know, 1 yard, make sure that they cross the line, and they knew it.
And now roll right there for Schiller. He's looking to throw over the right side, looking to complete it, and he overshoots his man. Not going to make the play there. That was Casey Coering getting cut off, and Ostigan was giving chase. But if that throw had been online, Ostigan wouldn't have mattered, and it would have been a touchdown. But long incompletion keeps it second down and 10 here at the 26-yard line. You getting a selfie there, Adam?
Yeah, I'm taking a selfie of us to let the Facebook world know that we're on.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, they don't want to miss this last game of the year. Possibly. Again, a win would guarantee another week of Blanco Panthers football, and I know we would all love to see that. Anyway, second down and 10. A minute 11 to go here in the first quarter. No team scoring yet. On the Blanco 27, Rodgers is driving. It's going to be a keep to the left side. Great jump there, and Schiller's going to break free. He's chased by Fortner and tackled down, preventing a touchdown that could have gotten this place blown up early, but it's still going to be first and goal inside the five.
What a great play there by the quarterback to make the man miss, but then a great play by Tristan Fortner to make sure he could get the tackle and keep him out of the end zone.
Bad job there, though, on the early chance to tackle Schiller. As one man overplayed Schiller, and he cut forward on the left side and really set himself up to run free. Luckily, Fortner is a speed demon and could chase him down. But now, here we go. First and goal from the three. Schiller in a shotgun. Motion made. Hand off, and Riley is going to break in through the one gap to the end zone. And as you can tell from the way the crowd is reacting and the horn is going off, it's a touchdown for Rodgers to start off the game. 6-0 over Blanco. Tough one to give up there because there was such a wide gap for Riley.
And this Rodgers offense has been able to show that they can run the ball, do a little short passing game, and then do the read option with their quarterback, Schiller.
So now lining it up here, it is Patrick Crow getting it held. He boots it up, and it is through. So 7-0 start here as the score comes with 36 seconds left in the first quarter. And Rodgers takes the lead over Blanco in this make-or-break game, 7-0. Let's see how the Panthers can respond after we come back here from this break. Don't go anywhere. This is Blanco Panthers football on the Sun Radio Sports Network.
This broadcast of Blanco Panther football comes from Water Tree Hill Country, located at 219 B Elm Street in Blanco, your local source for alkaline antioxidant water for Blanco and the surrounding Hill Country. More information on the Water Tree Hill Country Facebook page.
And by Spring Branch Water Well Service, offering water well drilling, pump installation, and water storage. Located 15 miles south of Blanco on Highway 281 in Spring Branch. Information online at springbranchwaterwellservice.com or by phone at 830-885-4858.
Welcome back here, everybody. If you're keeping up here, we got 36 seconds left in the first quarter, and Rodgers, having just capped a long drive from about, I would say, their own 41-yard line. Yep, that's where the ball was marked. And so they capped that with a drive that ends up in a 3-yard touchdown run by number 2, Billy Riley, to give the Eagles the early 7-0 lead and now force the Panthers to respond. And it's going to be a short kick through the right side. Caught by Daves. He keeps it contained. Gets a little bit of a push in front of him, courtesy of his pal there, Kyle Martinez, and gets him across the 50. So best starting drive position here for Blanco.
And Riley, that's a nice play there by Daves to be able to get 10 yards after the catch to get the ball past midfield for Blanco.
Now the good news is what set up that touchdown run from about 3 yards out was that long read option by Heath Schiller, and it looks like if Blanco just doesn't overplay it, they could have made the tackle and really prevented any possibility of maybe cutting the chances of a touchdown even further, but now at the 50, Blanco hopes to respond. It's going to be a quick handoff to Phillips on the jet sweep. He dodges a hand, gets pushing, gets powered, and it looks like they're going to take him down for a four-yard gain to put him at the Rodgers 46, second down and six.
And that was a nice run there, but you got to give credit so far to this Rodgers defense to keep this. It's been a really good Blanco running game that's really formed this season.
Especially on the outside, they're clogging up and keeping those jet sweeps from being as in sync or as harmonious to watch as you'd hope.
Yeah, the Rodgers playing good defense right now.
Yeah. So now second down and six here from the 46 and a timeout. Just kidding. It's the end of the first quarter, ladies and gentlemen. But when we come back, Blanco will have a second down to play for in Rodgers territory at the 45.5. So don't go anywhere. Through one quarter of play, Rodgers leads Blanco in this playoff or bust game 7-0.
Support comes from AMM Collision Center, specializing in complete body and paint repair for residents in Austin and the Texas Hill Country. Four locations, including in Dripping Springs on Highway 290, west of the light at Sunset Canyon. More information, including hours of operation, online at ammcollision.com and by phone at 512-894-3888. Financial support comes from Charles Schwab Incorporated, member SIPC, on Highway 290 in Dripping Springs, and Brian Carpenter, branch leader, financial consultant. Personalized financial guidance for residents of the Texas Hill Country. Information at schwab.com/drippingsprings.
Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Start of the second quarter coming up, and the sides have flipped as now Blanco will be playing up the left side of the field at the 45.5 on a second down and five, trailing Rodgers 7-0. The main break being that Blanco needs to cover the read option better, and now Cox is going to play action it, run right side, throw over the line, trying to go deep. And that is a near one-handed catch by Tristan Fortner, but it's going to drop incomplete.
And Tristan Fortner had a couple feet on two Rodgers defenders, but Fortner tried to make a great catch, but it was just a little bit overthrown, but still had a hand on the football.
So second time that they've asked Cox to roll, stop, and throw deep. And unfortunately for the second time, it is an incomplete pass. So now it'll be third down and five, still at the 45.5. And with 11:53 left here in the second quarter, 7-0 lead for Rodgers, and Blanco needs to get some big offensive jolt. So now lining up, five guys covering the left side, allows Cox to roll right away. He'll fake, he'll fire, and that's a catch there by Mr. Kate Phelps, and he's going to break through the low grab and get the first down that Blanco needs to keep this drive going. So good job there by Cade. He took a brush on that leg, sent him back about 2 feet, but then he re-stepped, restocked, and reloaded for the push.
And Cade's been a player all season that's made plays when this Blanco team needed a play to be made. So
great to have him back, as he missed last week's game with a concussion. But, again, last week Blanco didn't really need him as they went on 35-0, but always a positive to have him back. Cox under center. Handoff is going to go to Gunnar Granberg on his first carry. Looks like he's going to break it from the original starting line of the 39-yard line and get them 5 yards on the gain to put it down at actually the 33, so make it a 6-yard gain there on the power run by Granberg. Make it second down and four. So good stop there. Gunnar Granberg showing you just why he has that physical body to work with.
Yeah, and it's nice having not just different players who can run the ball, but different body types.
Yeah,
over different scenarios.
So now handoff is going to be a Phelps cut through the middle that'll get him the first down, it looks like. If not, pretty close. And anyways, it'd still be third down and incredibly short. They might need to get this one measured as Blanco thinks they got the first down. Let's see here. Yep, it looks like they're going to bring out timeout on the field to see exactly where this ball is placed and what the official measurement will be. Either way, they're going to bring it out. So let's see. I thought it was a first down.
It's the tension, I can feel it. Is it a first down or is it not?
Well, they got to place it down here. Oh, it looks like it's just going to be barely a third down. Let's see.
Third and inches.
Third and inches. Still third and inches. That's not something you can really worry about here.
And right now it's four down territory anyway, so for some reason they don't get it.
Yeah. The only thing that could really sap it is if they just lose yards.
They lose yards or...
Yeah, just give the handoff.
I don't want to say it, but fumble the football.
Yeah, just get it, hand off, and let the guy run.
Maybe even QB sneak it here.
Yeah, Kelby can hold it. I think he can. Anyways, They're still inside the 30, so they can get this first down. It sets them up to try and get something back here. As 10:52 remaining in this second quarter, 7-0 Rodgers. Cox under center. He's going to hand off to Phelps, and he's going to get the first down and more. Get chopped, but he gets inside the 20 and now puts Blanco in the red zone for the first time.
And they just do the handoff right up the middle and are able to get...
Let Kay, they'll get it.
Are able not just to get 1 yard, but able to get, you know, significant yardage there.
Man, really charged up that spot. Great job there blocking between the right guard and the right tackle. So phenomenal job there taking advantage. And now Sebastian Flores playing far side receiver. Cox has them all lined up here with two men in his backfield. Motion there for Fortner. It's going to be a handoff, though, for Gunnar Granberg, and he's going to keep pushing inside the 10 before he's finally taken down on a full heap. Man, Gunnar has got some power.
And we love that, what we called the G-train. Able to carry on players on his back for significant yardage. He looked like he got about 4 or 5 more yards once he gave it an initial contact with the Rodgers
defense. He looked like Marshawn Lynch out there. Again, a real loco motivation right there.
My favorite big running back was Dvorsky Lane back in the day for Texas A&M.
I got to go with the classic Earl Campbell. I love seeing videos of what he could do. As now handoff, Granberg through the middle, pushing, pushing, pushing. And it looks like they're going to stop him just short at the 2 to make it second down and goal here for Blanco. But still 2 yards to go. Granberg is a pretty sure bet to get in the end zone, don't you think?
Yeah, I would just keep it with Granberg, keep it with the G-train, and hopefully we'll hear the train engine go off.
Well, look at what we got here. Jet Hood is checking in for Tristan Fortner, so it could be either one. We got two power runners in.
Yeah, we got the G-train, and then we got the jet engine, so which one is it going
to
be?
Really, it's all dependent on what kind of car you love to drive. But anyways, full steam ahead here for Blanco as they got second and goal. 9:15 and counting left here in the first half, 7-0 Rodgers. But Blanco's just 2 yards away from changing that narrative, possibly. There's still a PAT to get in Granberg. He's going to try and sneak through the right side on a cut around, but actually, Rodgers stuffs him, and so Granberg actually loses a couple and makes it third down and goal. Man, first time I've seen that.
Yeah, that might be the first time we've seen that all season.
Yeah.
So give credit to Rodgers' defense. They're pushing Granberg back.
Do I have to give them credit, though? Man, I don't like doing that, but again, you're right. I'll give them credit. I don't like seeing that because Granberg is usually in those situations. He's 2 yards away. First try, he's getting in there. But let's see what he can do here, as now it is third and goal at the 3. Handoff, Phelps dives in, and we got ourselves a touchdown there courtesy of Kate Phelps on that counter run.
So it isn't the G-train, it isn't the jet engine, but it is Kate. He is back for the Panthers, and he's back putting points on the board, as that is a touchdown for the Blanco Panthers.
High-flying Phelps gets it done and now makes it 7-6 with a PAT coming up here for Zach Rodgers to tie this ball game up. He's already out there, and he's got Baylor Smith holding for him. So let's see what this result is going to go. 7-6, the snap, and it is going to be a bad hold there by Baylor Smith that's going to force Rodgers to get charged back to the 15. Man.
Baylor Smith not just able to hold on to the ball as
the snap was a little high there.
The snap was a little high. And so
it's going to be 7-6.
They missed out on the extra point. Hopefully that doesn't come back to bite later in the game.
Now, we've seen that before, and I don't like to play bugaboo, but when that happens, it can be a huge difference later on.
Yeah,
so,
we saw it early on in the year against Pearsall.
Yeah, yeah. Pearsall against Johnson City, but luckily Blanco still managed to come back from that one.
Yeah, there's still plenty of time. There's reason I didn't blame this game on that.
No. Yeah, you're right. 8:29 left here in the first half. It's 7-6 Rodgers. As they're going to get this one back here. And Rodgers, Zach Rodgers, man, I'm going to have a hard time keeping that stat. Blanco's Rodgers, the kicker.
Roger that.
Roger the, oy vey. Anyways, Zach Rodgers is out there, and the official is holding the ball, waiting for it to be placed down so that Rodgers can kick this one off back to the Eagles. You know what? I'm just going to say the Eagles. That's going to be easier. If Rodgers is out there, I'm just going to say Rodgers means Zach Rodgers, and the Eagles are the Eagles. Anyways.
Hopefully people know we're playing Rodgers because there's other teams in our district that are the Eagles.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Half the district is the Eagles.
Oh, man. Yep, you're exactly right. Of course, the top team in the district is the Lexington Eagles, so maybe that name is good for some reason.
It makes my predictions easy for games. If it's the Eagles versus Eagles, I know the Eagles are going to win.
Anyways, Rodgers is running, boots this one. It's flying, and it's going to be Crow ready to return. Going around the hash marks, he's going to get chopped out of there by, you guessed it, that looks to be Baylor Smith. Oh, man, Baylor Smith, the freshman, making the tackle on special teams. And so inside the 25 is where the Rogers Eagles are going to start this drive up 7-6.
I know it's the last game of the season, and we want to focus on, you know, the seniors, but Baylor Smith, just a freshman, it's going to be so nice to see him develop over these next 3 years in Blanco.
And Gunnar Granberg himself, being only a sophomore, he's got 2 years left to keep on adding.
Yeah, this could be a real good team here in the future.
I believe it. Of which, Tristan Fordner, he's only a junior, so he's got another year left. And anyways, back here, first and 10. Handoff is a cut through the right side, and Rod, look at Riley break up the field before he is taken down on the slap there by Jed Hood. He gets him just close to the 40, but it's still going to be a first down game there on that cutback run by, you guessed it, Mr. Billy Riley.
Billy Riley able just to make you know, the Walton miss, and just able just to get that one step away and able to get some yardage there.
And now Walton Days is going to be put back over on the Blanco sideline. Austin checks in, covering Mr. So now it's going to be a keep left side. Schiller getting knocked a few and keeping the damage to a minimum of about 2 yards gained. Quarterback keeper there by Schiller. 2 or 3 yards on the game makes it second down and still a little bit of ways to go.
Yeah, still definitely a good position for Rodgers to be in here on second down. And so let's see what Rodgers does here with the two get downs to go. And who knows, if they don't get the first down after the next 2 downs, they might go for it again on fourth.
Well, shotgun is still standing here for Schiller's. Handoff up the middle. It's Billy Riley getting plugged up there. Maybe a little bit short of the first down. Makes it about third down and one here on that gun up the middle by Mr. Billy Riley. So make it about third down and one coming up here, and Blanco having to play short side defense to keep this one on their way. A sack, that would definitely be nice.
Yeah, but if I was Rodgers, I would just keep going to the outside with Billy Riley, who's shown that he can be successful.
So now standing up here, Blanco defending a third and one on the 49 in Rodgers territory. 7:05 and counting to go in the first half. Handoff is actually a pitch to the right side and a jump there. And you guessed it, the other Riley brother getting the job done there to get the first down going right sideline.
It's not Bill Riley, it's Jordan Riley there.
So JR, BR?
Yeah, so both Riley brothers coming up big so far for the Rodgers offense.
Man, if we were on TV, I could just give them nicknames, but no. I gotta differentiate. Luckily, their jersey numbers are 2 and 3, so it's not that hard to tell. Anyways, it's going to be a first down across to the Blanco 46 off of that option pitch there to Jordan Riley from Heath Schiller. And now he's got Riley lined up as an in-between back. Oh, man, he didn't know where his running back went, and now he's trying to dodge the pressure. Trying to stiff arm Mr. Tristan Lopez. Schiller was not going to deny him. He wants the sack, and he got it.
Yeah, he did not let Schiller get away on this one.
Uh-uh.
Able to bring him down for the sack, and the Blanco Panthers away side is fired up.
Man, about 9 yards lost on the play to make it second down, and 19 off of that sack there by Tristan Lopez. How do you like them apples?
I like them apples a lot.
Of course, we stole that one from one of our own professionals up at Texas State, Mr. Bill Colhane. But anyway, second down to 19 at the Rogers 45. Going to be Seebeck moved to the right side. Stand-up pocket, Schiller running away from pressure. And he's got a whole left side open before he is tripped down by Toby Treesh. Gets him almost back to where they started at the 40-yard line. Now in Blanco territory at the 41, it's going to be, as the first down marker is at the 36, third down and 5 off that 14-yard run by Heath Schiller.
And Riley, while these Riley brothers are able to run the football, they're not the only ones who can run the football for the Riders offense, as their quarterback, Schuler, has been able to run the football on Blanco today.
And only a sophomore, but he stands 6 feet 2 inches tall. He's a physical specimen if there ever was one. Moving Seebeck to the right side again. He's going to pitch it off right side. But look at Blanco jump it and take the tackle down. Look at that. It is Chance Horden making the tackle and taking that play back to make it fourth down and 8.
And the Blanco Panther fans like that as they are on their feet. They're cheering loud. They're going to make it tough for this. I was going to say if they went for a fourth, but the punt team just comes out for Rodgers.
So playing it safe there. Great job by Chance Horden breaking through what would have been a jet sweep through the right side. Nothing to gain there, everything to lose. So now, punting team out here. We got 4:34 and counting left here in this first half. And it's a flailing snap that is booted now by Crow. Let it bounce, let it bounce. Ostigan's going to let it roll as it stops on the 14 before being picked up by number 7, Mr. Luke Ray. Probably the easiest name on this roster, but Blanca's going to be starting back inside their own 15. On this drive, it would take a lot to get this one going. But, hey, I don't think we have time for a break.
I don't think we have time either. Blanco always likes to get their offense out in a hurry.
Yeah, so you know what? We're not going to take you away from any bit of the action here. Score is 7-6 in favor of the Eagles with 4:21 to go here in this first half. Blanco starting at their own 14-yard line. After that punt by Patrick Crow, pretty good job on it too as Oskin just lets it roll. Right side, handoff is going to be a cut up through the middle and Jet Hood maybe gains a yard before they call forward progress being stopped. And now Brandon Phipps trying to announce a little bit of physicality to himself as he gets right in the face mask of Chase Ewers. Yeah, Ewers. His name is spelled E-U-E-R-S, so I'm just trying to get a proper pronunciation on that. But Brandon Phipps, the little guy playing left guard here tonight, is definitely not going to be taking any business from anybody but his own. So now under center Cox here. Handoff right side Phelps. Getting spun down on that hard swing by, you guessed it, Mr. Ewers, spinning him out of his shoes. But it's still a positive gain there to make it third down and what looks to be 5 on the play coming up here.
And we've seen the Blanco Panthers try a lot of different running plays, whether it be Fortner, whether it be Hood, Phelps, you know. But it hasn't really worked too great against Rodgers so far. So one thing I'm thinking is maybe a Kelby Cox. Short pass or either like a read option, get him going around the ball, see if that might work against this Rodgers defense.
So 3:10 to go in the first half. Snap is going to be a roll left, and look at this. They're going to fire it out, and it's caught there by Ostigan. He gets it on top of the 25, gets him to the 27, so that will be a first down like you called, about 2 yards ahead of it. So great screen throw there by Kelby Cox.
That was a great play call there for the quick pass game, and it was a good job by the referees to make sure that they marked the ball right as he was pushed back a couple yards after he caught it, but the referee did the correct thing in spotting the ball correctly.
Keeping it classy here, fans. We're now at the 26-yard line. It's a first and 10. 2:45 and counting to go in the first half. 7-6 in favor of the Eagles. Under center is Cox. He hands off to Hood. He tries to get going around the right side, but ends up getting snuffed back here by 3 different Eagles on that entire trail run. So, about a yard to gain there for Jet Hood. The second time he's been stuffed a little bit short of his expectation. Second down and 9.
Yeah, it's been so interesting because we've seen at least maybe one or two of the running backs, you know, get going pretty much every game. But so far we haven't seen a running back feel comfortable yet against Rodgers. And so this might force us right. I mean, this Blanco.
The closest one being Cade Phelps and Gunnar Granberg. He's been. But, of course, he's not a running back. He's a fullback. Anyways, through the middle. Man, nothing to gain there as, hoy vey, Kelby Cox gets smothered out of his shoes for that big sack.
And that was for some loss of yardage. So that's just a long third down. You got to think.
And remember that guy Ewers that Brandon Phipps was getting into? Well, since then, he's had a couple big defensive plugs. And now makes it third down and about 12.
And it makes it a third long situation, so you got to expect maybe putting it in the hands of your senior playmaker, Kelby Cox.
Now, 1:34 left here before halftime, so maybe not a lot to worry about if a play is not made here. Just can't turn the ball over. It's now under center. Cox stepping back in pocket. Throwing left side. It's caught by Phelps. He's got screens ahead of him by Chael Noll, but he is going to be cracked out of it. Cuts the distance down, though, as he gets him to the 36-yard line. And so it'll be 4th down and 1 here for Blanco. I say go for it.
Yeah, I was about to say, this is obviously a very up-in-the-air decision because there's only a little bit of time left. But you don't want to, if you don't get the 4th and 1, you don't want to get the ball to Rodgers in their own 40.
And now the officials are going to try and bring out the place markers again to spot exactly where this thing is, where the football is, and see if it is a first down or not. Let's see here.
It looked like it was about a yard short just from my eye test, but my eye test can always be wrong.
Wait a second. No, it looks to be even closer. It could be an inches scenario because that first down marker is just past the 36, and the ball is just behind the 36-yard marker. So let's see what the measurement is here. Place markers are going to be brought out. They're going to tie it down. And from the looks of it, it will be just a bit short. Fourth down in inches, but hey, result is still the same, and I think it should still be the same. Go for it.
I think you go for it just because this is playoffs or bust.
Yeah.
But
and you're down 7-6. What is there to lose with a minute seven left before halftime?
But with a minute seven left, if you don't convert it, you give Rodgers a chance to put up points.
True.
Because they're at the 36-yard line.
And while their defense has been stout early on, I think in this inches scenario, as Blanco is going to go for it, just give it to Phelps. I think he can get the job done, or Granberg even. But it's Jet Hood in the backfield, and Cox is going to keep it himself. Keep himself leveled, still on his feet as he keeps a hand up, and is being pushed all the way to the 49-yard line. Good grief. That's a first down.
Ran about 14 yards to about the 50.
And so he had a little bit of help from his offensive lineman to get him there.
Yeah, that was a really nice play by Kelby Cox and a really nice play by this offensive line. It'll just push him even further.
So now a timeout is going to be called here by Rodgers to try and sort things out, but Blanco at their 49 with 55 seconds left, trailing Rodgers 7-6. We'll be right back after this timeout as you're listening to Blanco Panther Football on 88.9 Johnson City and 106.9 Fredericksburg with Riley Chestnut and Adam Byerly.
Support comes from Dirtworks, servicing the Hill Country with landscape material sales, rock milling, and lake construction. Information available online at dirtworks.com or by phone at 830-833-2097. Dirtworks has been supporting Blanco ISD Athletics since 1999. Go Panthers!
And by KNC Supply. Selling hardware, lumber, and farm and ranch supplies to the residents of Blanco and the Texas Hill Country. Located at 2400 North Highway 281 in Blanco. Open Monday through Friday, 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Saturday, 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. More information by phone at 830-833-1504. Kirk and everyone at KNC Supply wish all the best to the Panthers on a great season.
Welcome back, everybody, as we have got about 55 seconds left here before halftime. 7-6 is the score in favor of the hometown Eagles. With Cox rolling out right side, he's being chased. Has to throw it with a mean hit, and he ends up throwing it incomplete as he might have gotten some sense knocked out of him and maybe took a gut shot to the hip as he comes up a little limp, but he's still fine. He's walking under his own power, but that's going to be a long incompletion. Still smart to get that throw off.
Yeah, it was very smart to get that throw out of bounds because the last thing you want to do right now with under a minute to go in the first half is fumble it or throw an interception.
And, I mean, he was being chased around by guys like number 58, Mr. Courtney Young, a senior, 5 feet 10 inches, a whopping 200 pounds. But he wasn't the one that made the hit. I'm not exactly sure who did, but, man, Cox, the fact that he's standing up there straight, I thought his hip got knocked out of place. Anyways, he puts Phelps in motion to the left side, and it looks like it might be a false start against Blanco's offense. So the officials blow their top, and let's see what it is. Or maybe they're pointing over to Rodgers' side. Let's see. Oh, boy. Two officials are coming over near Rodgers' sideline to make the call officially. Let's see here. It's against the Rodgers High School defense, so I take that back, Blanco fans. No need to worry. The first penalty we've seen, I think this is the longest we've gone in a game without seeing a penalty.
Yeah, we typically see like a lot of holding calls here in 3A.
Yeah.
Just with how teams are just so run heavy.
Uh-huh.
But there hasn't been a penalty yet really until that.
So give credit to both teams for playing really disciplined football. But the first penalty will belong here to the Rodgers Eagles to make it second down and 5 inside their territory at the 46. Handoff is a jet sweep around at Phelps. He's going to fire it. And it's going to be a tight throw to Van Dyke in between two that is broken up, but it could have been far worse.
Yeah, that was an interesting trick play call there by the Blanco offense. Is that the first time we've seen?
I think so.
Kate Phelps throw the football this season?
I think so, yeah, because he got up there. He had a real baseball-like stance like a third baseman. He was about ready to chuck that thing. But anyways, third down and 5 off the incompletion, 42 seconds left here.
Kate Phelps just didn't have the open man there.
Yeah. And thank goodness, I was worried there from the way the defenders were coming in front of Van Dyke. It was going to be an interception, but no need to worry, fans. An incompletion on a pretty nifty trick call. Anyways, under center, third down and 5. Hood is going to take it. And it looks like he's going to be spun short for about a 3-yard gain to the 43, but obviously that is not going to get it done to make it fourth down.
Yeah, you got to go for it here with under a minute left.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, you just got to go for it.
And give credit here, Jet Hood has been kind of been taken out of this first half. As you recall last week, Hood spearheaded a rushing attack early on, even though the final tally saw that it was Cade Phelps or Toby Treesh actually doing a majority of the damage, and nope.
That owner is going for it. They're going to kick punt the football with about 30 seconds left.
So Zach Rogers out there to punt against the team that sports his last name. Or he sports their high school name. It depends on who's been here longer.
Yeah, roger that, Riley.
Anyways. Oh, it's going to be a fake and a run there by Cade Phelps for the first down and more. He's still on his feet. Going right sideline. He's stiff-arming and powering. Still going inside the five. What a great trick play.
What a trick play there on fourth down.
What?
To get Cade Phelps the football on that fake punt run.
They're at the three now. What a great play.
And now this team has great position to not just put up a field goal, but, you know, put up points before the end of this first half.
Oh, man. They got to reset that clock there. Don't know how much time is left, but.
The Riders and the Blanco coaches are out on the football field talking to the referees.
Oh, I'm not too sure here. Oh, man, that's the half. They take it away. The half apparently ended before we could see the result of what was a great trick play. And I guess he would have had to stiff-arm his way to the end zone in order for Phelps to get that score.
And these Blanco coaches aren't happy as they are not wanting to leave the field, but they are finally now leaving.
I mean, wouldn't it be on a first down like that they would stop the clock at least?
Yeah, you think that – I thought with 30 seconds left when they called that too, I thought there was still going to be time.
Yeah, me too. But anyways, that's the half, ladies and gentlemen. But, hey, Blanco was the one to kick it in the first half, so they were opting to receive it in the second half, knowing that they could do that possibly again. Maybe not, now that Rogers will know exactly what to expect. But, hey, we've got a 28-minute period here in the half, and Blanco currently trailing Rogers in this make-or-break regular season finale by a score of 7-6. It's tight, but it's all right. Anyway, it's Adam Byerly and Riley Chestnut. We'll be back with the start of this halftime show and what has been the most impressive thing for us out here in Rogers for Blanco. Don't go anywhere. Halftime show is coming up, as we're going to take a break to give you more airtime and listen to our supporters.